Good evening, everyone. I am so thankful for having given an opportunity to share the Word of God with you tonight. Our passage today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans 8, 31 through 39, which would be found on page 944 in your pew Bibles. So as you know, our pastor John has been preaching a series of through the book of Romans. So it's a kind of getting a little taste ahead of time. But let me just introduce you a brief context of this passage. After speaking the seriousness of sin, Apostle Paul concludes in Romans 8 that Christians are no longer condemned by their sin and death, but rather they live by the Spirit. And they have the privilege as God's children. After explaining these wonderful blessings from God in Christ, Paul moves on to conclude what he has been saying in the previous verses in this passage. So please listen to God's word in Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, please glorify your name as we gather here and open your word. And Father, as we open up the scripture and listen, please make us humble before your precious word, and please send us your Holy Spirit so that you would open our hearts and learn from your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, first of all, what kind of picture do you imagine from the word conqueror or the word victory? You may imagine historical figures such as maybe Napoleon or Genghis Khan or whoever you might imagine, and say that you have nothing to do with these people. You have nothing to do with that kind of conquering or the victory that they have acquired. Those notorious figures conquered vast territories and peoples, as you know. They were the conquerors of this world. And other people or nations were conquered by them. Do you think the word conqueror means, in this passage, means this kind of conquest? Indeed, we usually live our daily life without thinking much about conquering someone or conquering something, or rather being conquered by something. Yet it is true that we are surrounded by the language of like pop psychology which says like you must claim victory in your life, some kind of things like that. And Or maybe you hear words like, you must be a winner in this world. But honestly speaking, I think most of us Christians do not think so much about victory in our life, but rather tend to focus on like our love or our kindness to someone or other things like that. We tend to focus more on those concepts. But in today's passage, the Apostle Paul says clearly that we are more than conquerors in verse 37. This obviously does not mean we become like Napoleon, nor does it mean we become winners in the eyes of our culture by becoming like wealthy, prosperous in this world. Well then, what does Paul mean by this word? What does Paul mean by that? According to him, what is this victory that we receive? And over what do we gain this victory? And what gives us victory? Well, let us examine today's passage closely to find out the answers to these questions. So first, we want to regard from what do we have victory? What kind of things do we win against? In today's passage, Paul asks several rhetorical questions, contending that none of these things he lists can stand in the way of our victory. In verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" He is stressing that these things will not separate us from the love of Christ. And following this verse, Paul cites from the verses of Psalm 44, which we sang earlier, where the psalmist is mourning his hardship as if he was a helpless sheep being led to slaughter. But brothers and sisters, let us think about this. Do we feel this kind of like tension in our daily life as we live as a Christian? Do we see these tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword, these things in our life? It is true that Christians in the first century were really actually persecuted by the Jews and by the Roman Empire. And it is true that even in these days, our brothers and sisters in Christ in some countries, some parts of the world, are still facing the actual persecutions. But what about us? Well, even in Japan, in my home country, where the Christianity is less than 0.5% of the whole population, and indeed we are considered an absolute minority, I can see that many Christians, including me, do not really always recognize this tension in this world. We don't really see those persecutions or other things that Paul lists in this passage. But indeed, we must all realize that the fact that these things do exist around us, and they are really trying to separate us from the love of Christ. We need to realize this fact. Paul addresses another list of things in verses 38 and 39 in this passage that may try to also separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ Jesus, our Lord. Due to our limited time, we cannot look at all the things listed here, but please notice that Paul says at the end, "nor anything else in all creation." Just before today's passage, earlier in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. As he writes here, the creation around us the world around us, the world we are living today, is deeply affected by the sin of man, and therefore the world is in conflict with God, and the world is in conflict with us as God's people. Paul writes later in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world." But he writes this because it is so easy for us to compromise with the world around us. And when we do, we become sort of dull and insensitive to the sin and corruption in this world. But we must remember this reality. The world around us is trying to conquer us. The world around us is trying to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God. And only when we acknowledge this reality, we can truly understand and appreciate the victory that today's passage promises to us. Indeed, the psalmist in Psalm 44 does also recognize this reality. Psalm 44 begins with praise to the Lord who had given their fathers victory when they conquered the promised land. But compared to the past glorious victory, this psalmist mourns his present situation. He describes it as if God is sleeping or hiding his face from him. If he tries to understand the reality of the world around him, apart from God, that is, as if there is no God, the psalmist feels that he is conquered by the world. Like him, we need to recognize our reality that the world around us is trying to conquer us. And secondly, let us consider the question, what gives us victory? What gives us victory? In today's passage, Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through what? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That is, God who loved us through Jesus Christ. This passage really beautifully summarizes God's love, which is shown in the works of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, God is for us. Verse 32, God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. 33, God elected and justified. And from verse 34, Paul draws attention to the redemptive works of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who died on the cross for us. He is the one who was raised up from the dead for us. He is the one who has ascended to the right hand of God for us. And He is the one who is even now interceding for us through sending the Holy Spirit to us. And through all these works, God's love for us is clearly seen. The Apostle John writes in the famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." You see that God's love is shown in His Son, and His Son accomplished His work as a Redeemer. Therefore, we must focus on this love of God. We must focus on this work of Christ that has done for us. When we look at the world around us, we should see the reality of sin. We should see the reality of the creation groaning because of man's sin. Where is the victory then? Don't we rather seem to be conquered by the world surrounding us? But today's passage really urges us to focus on God's love. We must focus on Christ's work through His cross, resurrection, ascension, and intercession There is no hope by looking at the world around us. We find absolutely no hope by looking at our own sin and its effects. Only when we focus on God's love revealed to us by Christ's work, we can see this hope of victory. This is the only way. We must focus on Christ's work, which was done for our sake. Then let us move on to the third question. How does God's love give us victory? How does God's love give us victory? In other words, how do we become more than conquerors? The answer is simple. It is because Christ Jesus himself gained victory over this world for us. Christ Jesus himself gained victory over the world for us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus encourages his disciples at the table of their Last Supper. And Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, Jesus himself said that he overcame the world. Jesus gained victory over the world. Victory over the sin, victory over death, and victory over Satan through his cross and resurrection. And moreover, his victory was indeed for us. And we will experience the same victory by being united to Christ by our given faith. Jesus' victory was for us, and we will be united to Jesus Christ by our given faith, so that we will experience the same victory as Jesus acquired. Thus, our victory is not something like conquering other people, or gaining money, or gaining fame in our own life. But we must clearly see our victory in Jesus Christ. We will experience the same victory that Jesus has gained. That is, the victory over sin, the victory over death, victory over Satan, and the victory to receive our glory before Christ, before God. And this is clear when we examine the context of today's passage. Just before our passage, Paul says in Romans 8:29 that the Son is the firstborn among many brothers. And in verse 17, "As if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." Here in these two verses, Paul calls us believers, brothers, or fellow heirs with Christ. Then what do we inherit as Christ's brothers or fellow heirs? In fact, we receive Christ's this really glorious victory that he accomplished through his cross and resurrection. These words that Paul uses really indicate that we do partake in this Christ's victory. We are brothers. We are the fellow heirs, which are to also receive this victory. And verse 17 of Romans 8 also presents an interesting fact. It says, "Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." When we suffer for the sake of righteousness, as this passage says, we are indeed experiencing suffering as Christ did. Christ's victory was accomplished through his suffering. And when we suffer as Christians, we are indeed given an opportunity to suffer for the promised victory as Christ went through. That is why the psalmist mourning in Psalm 44 does not end in vain. And I think this is why Paul is citing from this very psalm. Notice the cited verses begins with, "For your sake," that means for the Lord's sake. Observing this suffering as God's people, Paul gives us hope by saying in the next verse, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Brothers and sisters, we must be given this hope by this victory that was first accomplished by Christ, the firstborn. And we also inherit His victory as His brothers, as His fellow heirs. It is true that we are surrounded by a sinful world that is trying to separate us from God's love. But because of that, we need to really focus on God's love revealed to us by Christ's redemptive works. We need to focus on the fact that Christ has already won His victory. We need to really focus on the fact that by Christ's cross and resurrection, He has won this victory. And we need to focus on the promise that we are also made more than conquerors by being united with this Christ's victory. Yes, we live in the tension between, it is sometimes called already and not yet. It is true that we do not experience this true glory Jesus has accomplished yet in this life. But the Bible, God's Word, gives us the absolute promise that we will experience the same glorious victory through God's Son, through Jesus Christ. Notice that the verb, "we are more than conquerors," is in the present tense. We are right now experiencing this victory. This victory through God's love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, let us focus our eyes on God's love. That gives us victory. Let us focus in our daily life this victory that Christ has acquired and Christ has given us so that we can too be more than conquerors in this world. Let us pray. Our Lord Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we thank you that you have given us the victory you have promised to us through your love and through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please make us not to compromise ourselves to the world around us, but rather make us really focus on your love that you have given through Jesus Christ. Please send us your Holy Spirit so that we can live not according to our own will, but rather according to your name and your glory. In our Lord Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.